today. I have a sore throat. I've been sick for a while, but we got to move on. I'm getting a little bit better, but I just saw the Doctor Strange movie early this afternoon, and I think it's a perfect another piece to the Marvel MCU tapestry of movies. I think it's just the whole collection of all the movies. You have to take the Marvel Universe as this one collection, as opposed to each individual blockbuster. Even though they have blockbusters, they are as good taken as a collection of movies, because they do relate to one another. And there's a couple of scenes in this movie that ties into the future Marvel MCU movie. So let's get to it. But before, I was having a pretty rough week, kind of stressful, and then I figured I'll go see a movie, just to kind of relax. I totally forgot that Doctor Strange is about Eastern mysticism, and I don't think anybody, well, you guys don't know this about me, but I've read and loved Eastern mysticism since 1997. I started reading about Buddhism and Hinduism, and especially Buddhism, and I'm fascinated by it. Tibetan Book of Living and Dying by Sogyal Rinpoche. Dzogchen, Hard Essence of the Great Perfection by the Dalai Lama. Essence of the Heart Sutra, also by the Dalai Lama. See all the tabs here? So, and I have a whole library of these books. I probably have 36 of these books. So I go into, Doctor Strange, think, oh, I'm just going to see a, Doctor Strange movie, a superhero comic book movie. And then all of a sudden, I remember it. It's like, oh my God, he goes into Eastern mysticism, like, which is great. And what I kind of like about the movie is that, yes, he's into Eastern mysticism, but they didn't overdo it. Like, they didn't. Batman Begins actually has a little bit more Eastern stuff going on there. And I may have wanted Doctor Strange's learning phase when he was at the temple, when he was at the community, to show more of that stuff. But I think they did it just right. Especially, keep in mind, kids are going to be watching this movie, as well as people who aren't really that keen into Eastern religion. So they don't care. They just want to see a superhero movie. But you still have to put the essence of Doctor Strange into it. And I think they did it perfectly. I got to say, Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One is perfect. I didn't know what they were going to do with it. And it's not just a gimmick. They actually, Amy Dallin, she's one of the comic book podcasters. She mentioned, she took a picture with Tilda Swinton recently. And she said, Tilda Swinton has the kindest eyes. And when you see Doctor Strange, the movie, you see it. It's like she has not just kindness, even though she's played some of these weirdest roles. Go see, what is that called? Snowpiercer and Michael Clayton movie. She plays like two total baddies in those movies, but in this one, she plays this lightheartedness, happiness, a contentment. She plays a feeling. She doesn't play a role as much as she plays an attitude, a sense of being, which is perfect for the Ancient One. It's like, I can't believe they pulled this off. I know the whole whitewashing thing, but I think they cast her perfectly for this role, because here's the big point I'm trying to make is, if you had cast a more somber person, even an Asian person, or a British person, a guy who is brooding, even though, we know it's like the Master, Ancient One, they're stereotypically the serious person, right? She comes in here like a child, like a almost like I wanted to compare it with Yoda. You know, in The Empire Strikes Back, when Yoda comes in, he's this goofy little character. When we don't know that he's Yoda yet, and he's this goofy little character, and I kind of wish that that part of Yoda came back later on when they showed him again, as opposed to the very serious Yoda for the rest of Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and the prequels. I wish there was that little playful Yoda they had at the beginning. And so Tilda Swinton became that. She is the Yoda, but she remained consistent throughout the whole movie. I have a feeling I want to talk about Tilda Swinton's character a lot in this review. But a spoiler, by the way, spoiler, go see the movie. It's totally worth it. I would say it is on probably the top 40 or 30%. Percentile in terms of the Marvel MCU movies. It's up there. I think Ant-Man is a good comedy, I think Doctor Strange is a good magical movie. I think both movies are about on par with each other, Ant-Man and Doctor Strange. So spoiler, I'm going to cut to the end. So really spoiler, Tilda Swinton has a big fight at the end. So, you know, spoiler, and she knows she's going to die. She gets into a fight with Caecilius, and she knows she's going to die, and she stops time so that she can go. She takes her her astral self, and goes out on the balcony with Doctor Strange's astral self, and she stops time so she can watch the snowflakes fall in the air. And you have to see it in 3D. This effect, it's like the effect with Guardians of the Galaxy when Groot releases those fireflies. Remember that? And it almost makes you cry because both in Guardians of the Galaxy and Doctor Strange, because Doctor Strange is at the end. All the struggle, and then there's this moment of quiet and peace and contentment and acceptance, and there's still a mystery to it, and we still haven't found out everything about what the Ancient One knows, and who knows if she's really dead. That's another thing, you know, this whole thing is about magic and, you know, infinite universes and timelines. So who knows what's going to happen there. But I wanted to talk about that first because it was so fascinating. I think it was so fresh that they did the Tilda Swinton character, the Ancient One, such in that way that it made that movie so unique from all the other superhero movies. I think this is the uniqueness of this movie. Okay, so, but I got notes. The whole thing with time, by the way, Dalai Lama is fascinated with time. He likes collecting watches and clocks. And I love the way they talk about time, how you stop time, you slow down time, you reverse time. But in the end, we are all trying to fight time because we're trying to fight death. And death is about time elapsing. If we can stop time, we won't have to worry about death. But at the same time, we will never be able to enjoy life if we stop time. So deep stuff, but I think I like the way they dealt with it in the movie, so it's not too deep, but it's also, there's enough depth there, and I think hopefully they're going to explore this more in the next Doctor Strange sequel. Christine Palmer, Rachel McAdams' character, is perfect. As necessary as Claire was in the Daredevil and Luke Cage Netflix movies, Christine Palmer in this Doctor Strange movie, she is like the connective tissue. She is the proverbial connective tissue. She is the grounding force. She puts things back on Earth so that we relate to it. So, you know, with all this mysticism and monks and priests and supernatural stuff going on and quantum physics and all that stuff, you need a character that represents us, regular human beings, to be fascinated by all the stuff and you know their reaction to it. And I think she's perfect. You know, I got a little crush on her anyway because she fascinates me. And one of my favorite movies last year is Spotlight. You got to go see Spotlight with Rachel McAdams in there. Great movie. That scene at the near the beginning of the fighting in the OR when Dr. Strange gets stabbed and she has to basically save his life. But at the same time, his astral existence has to fight one of the bad guys. So she's in the real world trying to save his life on the operating table while he's in the astral plane fighting this guy, but they're still disturbing her OR room. And she's freaking out. Things are moving. It's like poltergeist. Things are moving left and right. And that was the comedy relief, I guess, but it's a great balance to the seriousness of the rest of the movie. Moments like that, you know, some of the moments with Wong, some of the moments with the other characters. I really like this movie. I've been listening to some reviews, and they're kind of it's pretty good. You know, most people like it. It's got 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, but people are like, yeah, it's pretty good, but, you know, it could have been better. It's not perfect. It's not a blockbuster. To me, it was the perfect movie that it could have been. I think it's more because of the way I felt going into the movie, how my day was going. And I needed that kind of escape from reality. But at the same time, there's still a Doctor Strange seriousness to it. So highly recommended. The best thing to do is go in there like I did and sort of not even think about the movie that you're about to watch. Because I just basically, I had such a busy week. I just rushed in there. I had a couple of hours where kind of things kind of calmed down. And I just went into the theater and I just watched it and I go, oh, this is perfect. So Benedict Cumberbatch, I don't think he can do anything wrong. Yeah, I had a little problem with his American accent at the beginning, but when he became Doctor Strange, he got the more serious stuff. I don't know. I think he worked into the role, and maybe I just got used to it. I don't know. He's fine. He's done American accents before. It's not perfect, just like Kate Winslet. She does American accents. Sometimes it's not perfect, but their acting is so good that it doesn't matter. There's so much other things in going on in this movie. The script is fantastic. It's tight. It's dense. Every character that speaks has gems to say. Even the supporting characters that you only see once in the movie. Great, great dialogue. It's rich and it's meaningful and it serves the story. It's not just fluff or kind of filler. And the movie runs fast. It's less than 2 hours long. So they kind of actually rushed it, where Batman Begins was like 2:15, 2:20, the very first Batman Christopher Nolan movie, where they actually spent more time of him training. This one, they kind of went a little bit faster with his training, but I think it serves its purpose. You know, we can only get so many, you know, dojo training with mysticism master movies, you know. We get enough of that with Ip Man and, you know, Jackie Chan movies and Jet Li movies. So I think just the amount of time just for us to get the point. What else? Astral Plane. I guess I wanted the movie to slow down a little bit during the first half. But I can see where they're trying to, like, let's move it along. Because there's a very fine line. If they slow it down even by 2 minutes, if they slow it down with using the wrong 2 minutes, you're going to feel it and you're going to get bored. And it's just not going to be as entertaining in the long run. So wonder if they're going to have a long, like an extended version on the DVD. So what else? Benedict Wong is a librarian. Now, Benedict Wong, I remember him most recently in The Martian. He was the Jet Propulsion Laboratory main guy, the director. And he brings a sense of everyday working man to his role, even when he's the librarian. I love the way he's like a matter of fact with the books. Don't take this book. You know, you don't want to mess with that. Everything is available, but you got to have, you have to know how to use those books, the books in the temple. And Benedict Wong is the librarian, is perfect. He's also the master of the Hong Kong Sanctum Sanctorum. So, and, you know, we're going to see more of him, hopefully, a lot more of him, more screen time in the future. Chiwetel Ejiofor, it's like he's automatic. You know what it is? Chiwetel Ejiofor, Benedict Cumberbatch, pretty much any actor, Mads Mikkelsen, any actor, and Tilda Swinton, any actor that the Marvel MCU puts in their movies, it's like we don't have to worry about if they're going to suck or not. Same thing with the special effects. We don't have to worry about if Marvel MCU special effects are going to suck or not. It's not going to suck. It hasn't... I don't remember the last time it sucked. I mean, even from Iron Man 1, it was fantastic, right? So, of course, the Inception introverted fighting New York, you know, inverted fighting, perfect. Go see it in 3D again to see the inverted fighting. There were some parts where they kind of look marionette-ish, where you can tell it's a CGI going on, but it doesn't matter. Something great about a great movie is that when, if the script is tight, if the acting is amazing, if the plot has a good story or multiple stories, and the execution is high quality, cinematography is high quality, the special effects don't have to be perfect 100% of the time. And there were some little glitches in there, but for the stuff that they packed into this movie, easily forgivable. So if I need to rate it from like 1 to 10, I would rate it probably a like an 8, 8.5 even. It just depends. I want to see it a second time so I can evaluate it in with a different attitude maybe. So let me take a break right now. I'm going to reset the camera. Okay, so part two. Now I got more time to talk. Let me see. What else? Ancient One. I'm trying to talk as fast as possible because I'm shooting on a DSLR and it's got a 20-minute limit. I'm trying to upgrade, like save money for a longer time limit. And I don't want to hack my DSLR because I heard there's a firmware where you can hack it to get more than 20 minutes running time. But nah, I don't want to do that. Pat Tapestry, Inception moments, right? I wrote down, we're so spoiled with perfect effects that we take it for granted nowadays with the Marvel MCU. I mean, what other studio film set of films do we do that with? Besides Star Wars, actually. Star Wars, we take it for granted. We only notice it when it sucks. And so we basically don't even notice it anymore. We get to concentrate on the story, which is actually the most important part when you think about it, right? Oh, by the way, again, spoiler, Doctor Strange and the Ancient Ones, some of their weapons, they make their own weapons, right, out of thin air. And one of the ones that they have is the magic lasso, like Wonder Woman's magic lasso that they use. And I keep thinking, they did the magic lasso thing in this movie ridiculously awesome. The way they used it, and Wonder Woman better bring it. When the Wonder Woman movie comes out and she uses her magic lasso, she better use that thing more ingeniously than they use their magic ropes or chains or whatever they used in this Doctor Strange movie, because that was some of the fighting in this movie is great also. Original. I've never seen anything like that. The movie is a mix. It's not just magic. They also use quantum physics. Even the Ancient One, Tilda Swinton's character, talks about actual science, Western science, as opposed to Eastern metaphysics. And, you know, she holds out the book where she talks about an MRI. She talks about the CT scan. She talks about the chakras and the different chi of the body, the essence of the body, acupuncture. And so it's all mixed. It's like Thor's universe where he says, you know, what you people call on Earth as magic, in Asgard, it's science to us. And I think I love this. It's a holistic view of everything. All right, I'm gonna take a drink real fast. All right, so the Cloak of Levitation. The Cloak of Levitation is another character in this movie. What, as soon as I saw it, it's moving. It's kind of nudging Doctor Strange to do to go here, to go there. Don't go for the axe. Go for the imprisonment chainmail suit thing, and it reminded me of BB-8. It's like the Cloak of Levitation. I don't know if he's gonna give it a name, but it's like another character, and it doesn't say a word or makes a sound. It just moves, and it's like it's this beautiful. Okay, remember Doctor Octopus's tentacles in Spider-Man 2, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 2. You know how the tentacles had personality? The Cloak of Levitation has the same thing in this movie. And I hope that carries on with the rest of the Marvel MCU movies where Doctor Strange is in it, where it's not just a cloak, it's actually a character that he gets to use, you know? So, got to keep it in. Some people kind of didn't like it. I heard some people didn't like the cloak having such a comedic sort of thing. But I think it's a perfect, again, the whole thing is about balance. The cloak balances Doctor Strange's seriousness about all this pressure that he has to basically save Earth. So he's the protector of Earth. And then here's another spoiler. His trick, using his mind, no powers, but using his mind to trick Dormammu into being stuck with him in an infinite loop so that Dormammu can't hurt Earth anymore and they will just keep reliving that same moment, basically stuck in a separate part of existence, and how he bargains with Dormammu at that moment to, you know, leave Earth alone and I'll stop this infinite loop that we're in. Now, you know, he bargains with Dormammu, and you know, it's like it's never a real bargain when you bargain with bad guys, especially with the kind of power Dormammu would have, right? Somebody with Dormammu's power. So I keep thinking there's going to be repercussions maybe in the future about this bargain that Doctor Strange did with Dormammu. And who knows what's going to happen, you know, at the end with Baron Mordo going off in a separate way where his philosophy changed because he was influenced by Cassilius. It very intriguing, very fascinating. It feels almost like a 0.5 beta version of a movie where it's literally an introduction to the character to get him started, but the real action and the storyline really hasn't started yet. But I think it's just like kind of like Ant-Man or even the first Iron Man, where, you know, the first Iron Man, when you look back at it now, it didn't have that much action, right? It was more the growth, the introduction to that character. And so I think Marvel nailed it again with this one. What else? Okay, what else? My notes. It's not a horror movie. By the way, okay, remember, if you were keeping track of this movie, with all the news, when it was first announced, the director has a reputation for making horror movies, like hard R horror movies. And they were actually considering making Doctor Strange a hard R horror movie, to where it's supposed to take us into the separate, like the darker Marvel movie, right? And I totally forgot about that when I saw the movie today. And I am kind of glad that they didn't go that way, because it's more personal, selfish thing. I was totally not in the mood for a dark horror movie. I was more, it's like, just give me a good story, a good movie, a good superhero movie. Put some, you know, ancient mysticism in there. Get some parts kind of dark, but it was nowhere near as dark as the Batman Begins. Batman Begins was freaking dark, you know, with a box with the, you know, scarecrow and the opiates and all that stuff. Nothing like this in the movie. You kind of get into the fantastic 2001 Space Odyssey kind of time, you know, drug trip sort of thing, but it's not as dark as what we're used to. It's not like Doctor Who stuff. It's not like British style. This is more American style. It's more mainstream. It's easier to digest. It's easier to have kids watch it. So, and some people also are saying, was comedy really necessary for this Doctor Strange movie? Because it's sort of, Doctor Strange is more dark, more serious. Was all the comedy really necessary? I'd say like 90%. Yeah. There were some parts in there where it kind of dragged on, but it's forgivable. Again, many things are forgivable when you have a movie that's so good that like maybe 5% of it wasn't perfect. And yeah, I think the comedy was totally necessary for this movie because there's so many dark aspects of it. Even the good guys are dark. The main character, Stephen Strange, before he got into the accident, he was an asshole, right? He was a dark, sad human being that he saved lives, but he was such an egotist that you didn't feel happy when you were around him. You know, you worshipped him more than you wanted to be in the same room with him. So, you know, and that changed. And, you know, we all know it's like he loses the use of his hands, supposedly, and now it's a transformation for his personality. And it's totally Eastern philosophy, Eastern religion, mysticism, where you have to let go of yourself, let go of your ego. You have to, there's that story again with the cup. If your mind is so full of all these ideas about yourself, or you think you know everything, your cup is already full. So you can't take more tea and fill this cup anymore because it'll just overflow. So what you have to do is you have to empty the cup. Empty your mind. Yoda, you know, empty your thoughts. You have to unlearn what you have learned. So he goes into that same training of unlearning what he has learned as a surgeon, as a neurosurgeon. That's fantastic. And do I have a spot on my shirt? Big spot. See, this spot, I just edited the movie and drank, and then I splittered over myself. So it's not going to dry if I, that doesn't work. Okay, there's a spot. All right. I'm going to keep going. Shambhala, by the way, the password for the Wi-Fi at their temple was Shambhala. In case you were wondering, I looked it up. I kind of already knew, but I looked it up just to make sure. It's a mythical kingdom in Tibetan Buddhism and Hinduism. So it's a place. It's sort of like Shangri-La. Look it up, kids. Google it. Look up Tibetan Buddhism. Look up the Himalayas. Tibet. Up in the mountains, 14,000 feet up in the air. Great stuff. It's similar again to Batman Begins, where Bruce Wayne had to go up, you know, into the mountains, into the Himalayas to learn how to be a ninja. So, and that's pretty much it. That's all my notes. I kind of burned right through it, but yeah, that's my quick review. Hopefully it's quick enough. I really like this movie. You know what it is? I'm going to talk about like a little bit about Deadpool because it's on regular TV now. It's on cable TV. And there's an easiness to it. Whereas you think Deadpool was this rated R, hard R movie? Try watching it on TV over and over again. It's sort of, it feels comfortable. It's like comfort food now. Where it's like Deadpool. What's another comfort food movie? Sort of like Ant-Man and The Martian, to me, at least, my personal opinion. I think Doctor Strange, I'm going to wind up watching it when it's on TV or I have it on digital video. I'm going to wind up watching it more and more and more because there are little nuances in there. And it's also, it's one of those movies where it's not so in-your-face, bombastic, and grandiose that you can just kind of sit there and watch it and you can absorb it on different levels. You can watch it as a kind of a blockbuster if you want. You can watch it as a comic book movie if you want. A superhero movie. You can watch it as just a movie of great acting. You can watch it as an action movie. And you can watch it as a movie with a really great dialogue. Listen to the words that they say. And I think Doctor Strange, I think right now, let's see what happens when they put it on TV. I think I'm going to wind up watching this movie a lot on TV much more. Actually, I don't need to see it again in the theaters. It's weird. I saw it once. I don't need to see it again. But I think I'm going to be watching it a whole lot more when it's on TV. So, and that's the review. Hopefully, go see it. Don't watch this review until you've seen the movie. So I'm going to talk about... We're still trying to raise money. So this is I'm just going to talk about this real fast. We still got our sick kitty Trin. We've raised a bunch of money so far. Thank you for the people who donated, the people who donate to Making Biscuits, Cat Rescue. We always need money. They always need money. And everything I make from this video blog, podcast, whatever I make, it gets donated 100% to Making Biscuits Cat Rescue. So thank you for donating. This is our latest fundraiser is for Trin, the little kitty. And she has a upper respiratory, but it's much more serious than just like, you know, a bronchial virus or something. It's this, we have to figure out what's going on inside her lungs to save her life, basically, because she's losing weight. I'll post some links to her fundraiser page, her GoFundMe page, but I'm going to read what the GoFundMe is talking about. Many of you know us, Making Biscuits Cat Rescue. We're a 501c3 charity, and we love our kitties. We have a kitty resident, Trin, who is in dire need of special veterinary care. She's been to the regular vet 3 times for x-rays and antibiotics and a bronchial dilator without getting a formal answer for her breathing difficulties. The antibiotics don't seem to be helping anymore. She needs what's called a bronchial lavage so the doctor can test the mucus in her lungs. But it's a very expensive procedure for a rescue. She's really suffering, as you can see in the video. I'm afraid if we don't come up with funds soon, she may die. She's 6 years old and doesn't deserve this. Thank you for taking the time to read this. Please donate so we can help her. Our veterinary fund is completely depleted. And a quick link, if you want to go there without typing in all the GoFundMe stuff, just go to thedailynight.net, thedailynight.net/GoFundMe. Okay, so I'll put the graphic up. Hopefully, a couple of bucks, $3, $5, $20. Some people have donated as much as $100, but some people have donated $3. And you guys are fantastic. And especially in this economy, we're still not out of this yet. America still is in a recession as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, the middle class are still hurting. So if you can donate anything at all, I'd be totally grateful. As you can tell, I should not even be podcasting right now because I pretty much don't have a voice, and this is probably going to hurt me. I'm going to regret doing this later on, but I knew I had to, I had to talk about Dr. Strange real fast, but more Making Biscuits Cat Rescue. So if you can donate to them, very much appreciated. Okay, until next time, my name is Gerardo San Diego. You can find me at thedailynight.net, thedailynight.net. Until next time, may the force be with you. Thank you very much.